Good afternoon, Lake Norman. Whoa, I am hot. I'm coming in hot today. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this week's Know the Scene. Justin Dion, your host here. Know the Scene, your weekly dose of what's going on around here in the cultural scene of Lake Norman and the towns that make it up. There we go. Oh, there we get a little bit more focused. I can like, very, very hot today. Hot mic. Again, we're excited to have another show for you here today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Just remember, if you're listening live, then that's great via either the radio or maybe Facebook Live or YouTube Live or one of those. Also, you can listen to this show in the future via your favorite podcast app. So whatever podcast app that you prefer, just go and search WSIC Know the Scene. And you will be able to listen to today's episode. You'll be able to listen to past episodes of all the wonderful, wonderful folks that are contributing to our awesome cultural ecosystem here in the Lake Norman region and beyond, and beyond. Kane Center for the Arts continues to be rocking and rolling. We had a great weekend last weekend. Friday night, we were joined with Socks in the Frying Pan, a traditional Irish band. And if anyone listening got to enjoy the radio interview last week, it was a first for us and for WSIC News as we did a radio interview that spanned three states. That's right. The artist from Socks in the Frying Pan interviewed with us from the road while touring on the road and started in New Jersey. And by the time the interview was over, they were in Maryland. So we had a great three state long interview there. And then a great show last weekend. We had a comedy show on Saturday night that someone rented and did a comedy show and then filmed it for like a comedy special. So that was a first for us and great event. Last weekend on Saturday, downtown Cornelius was absolutely popping as the social district there, along with Old Town Public House and Thigs, had a big St. Patrick's Day celebration there. It was a big block party, street party, lots of fun, great music and just great community times. I know Boatyard had a big shows last weekend. They continue to have good shows as well. Check them out for this weekend. Kane Center for the Arts, again, continues to have some great performances upcoming. Our next items don't come into play, though, until next weekend, where we have a show called Dinosaur World Live. So if you've got a kiddo out there in your life who likes dinosaurs, this is the show for you. They bring these huge puppets, like life-size style puppets that the actors perform with and bring them on stage. And there's all kinds of dinosaurs. And there's going to be actually a great collaboration we're doing with Discovery Place Kids here in Huntersville, where there will also be some interactive dinosaur and paleological, is that the word?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Would that be the right way to say it? In the lobby, like before the show and after the show too. So parents, we've got two performances. One next Friday night, the 29th. That is Easter weekend. Yes. So Friday night, there's a 6 p.m. show. And then on Saturday, the day before Easter, there's a 2:30 matinee afternoon show. So get your tickets. Come see that performance. Still lots of performances on sale for Kane Center, including a great blues performance by Joanne Shaw Taylor coming up in April. And John Oates, yes, that John Oates, is coming as well on April the 12th. So get your tickets, kanearts.org, for these shows. But today, we are here with some new guests. We're joined today by Tara and Jackie, both with Davidson College. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, we got a sound effect. All right.
Sweet.
There we go. And Tara and Jackie, the music that we heard on the intro is the reason that you're here today.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Tell us what that music was from.
Bright Star, the musical by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell.
Uh-huh. And Bright Star, and why is Bright Star important right now?
Because we're doing it at Davidson College this week.
There you go. There you go, everybody. That's why Kane Center and everything going on this week. Because Davidson College is doing Bright Star.
That's right.
We're going to talk all about Bright Star and the project you guys are working on during the show today. But I'd like to start out with just kind of introducing yourselves and telling us about yourselves and what you do there at the college.
Well,
Jackie, Jackie, kick us off.
I have been at Davidson 23 years, which is hard to believe.
All right.
Spent a lot of my years professionally singing concerts, opera, mainly in the classical and music theater worlds, and spent better part of the last decade really focusing on my teaching and enjoying it. I music direct the musicals too. So.
Okay, great. And what do you teach at the college?
I teach voice.
You teach voice, mm-hmm. vocal instruction.
Yes.
Excellent.
Opera workshop, musical theater.
Have you always taught that at Davidson the whole time you've been there?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's all I've ever done.
Oh, okay. Do you teach like private instruction as well?
A little bit. I don't have much time for it, but a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
Keep you busy enough.
I'm a self-acclaimed voice geek.
Oh, well, all right. We'll have to unpack that.
You've team taught some class in the classroom as well. Yeah.
I do some classroom things.
Yeah.
But I'm a voice geek. Let's talk vowels, you know.
A voice geek. All right. We're going to have to unpack that in the show today. Tara.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
This is my 21st year at Davidson College.
Really?
So came in pretty shortly after Jackie. Yeah. And came in.
Wow.
Yeah. And I direct the orchestra there. Mm-hmm. I teach some classes, pretty wide plethora of classes, like Intro to Western Music. I used to teach an opera course. I have a course now on women in music. And then occasionally directing the musical. And then this year has been my first year as the chair of the music department. So that's a new acquisition of the things that I'm doing there.
Congrats. Wow, yeah. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, chair. Chair of the department. That brings a whole host of
yes,
new responsibilities.
It does. But really the most exciting part about it, though, is just really getting to know everything that all of my colleagues are doing. Whether they're performing, having papers presented at conferences, you know, and that stuff, you're always aware that your colleagues are doing it, but until you're chair, like, you don't really understand how much they are doing all the time. And so it's been really awesome to get to know my department a little bit more deeply through being chair and just, helping colleagues like Jackie get promoted this past year.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. So it's busy. I'm not going to lie. It is very, very busy, but it's also very rewarding. So
awesome. So both of you have been at Davidson over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Congratulations.
We love it.
Yeah. There's a reason we're still there.
There you go. That's important. Yeah. That's important. So I want to talk a little bit and we'll, you know, we've got lots of time today to talk through these kind of things. So, but again, I want to take it back a little bit, I guess, and we'll start with Jackie. How have you seen, hang on, we're going to run out of time soon, so I'm not going to ask you a big heavy question like that. Actually, we're just going to go ahead and transition to commercial. And we'll be right back after commercial with more from Jackie and Tara, everybody. Thanks. Slap that knee, slap that knee. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to this week's Know the Scene. Justin Dionne, your host here with Tara and Jackie from Davidson College. We're talking about all kinds of things today. We're gonna talk about Bright Star later. I want to continue to talk about what you all do at Davidson College and what you do in your departments and like just what's going on there generally. Right? That like
everything.
Everything. Yeah. Yes, everything. Well, we're going to unpack everything.
All right.
Let's talk about the music. I guess let's start, you know, or you can both tackle it together. But like, let's talk music, I guess, in general, and then we'll dig down deeper than what that means.
Our,
right?
Our department has about 60 plus performances a year.
Wow.
Every season.
Different.
Now, are these performances by students or by professors or by both?
It's mostly students.
Yes, mostly students.
Excellent.
Mostly student performances. We also have outside professional performers, faculty recitals. Mm-hmm. Right now we're wrapping up tonight's the third of three senior recitals. There were two last week. Yeah, this is an active department. I mean, we have our larger ensembles. We have our Davidson Chorale, Davidson Singers, they're kind of attached to each other. The orchestra, jazz ensemble, and then we've got jazz combos. Appalachian Ensemble, which will come into play when we talk more about Bright Star. African Drumming Ensemble. We've got a larger choir. Choral Arts Society, Davidson. And then that's not even accounting for, you know, like opera workshop mm-hmm. and string studio recitals and brass studio recitals and everything that are going
on. Our choral arts is actually kind of a town and gown. There's community people. It's sort of a North Mecklenburg oratorio type group. Yeah, so there's faculty and staff, but there's also just people from the community who come and
love that.
They meet once a week, do several major works with orchestra.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really nice.
That's wonderful.
And I think even last summer, they started doing sort of like read-throughs of major works in the summer. So it's just kind of like, hey, you want to read through Mozart Requiem? Come on this day in July something, and they'll read it down. So
wow.
Kind of
wait,
fun.
So yeah. Tell me, so explain reading Mozart's Requiem.
You show
sing
up,
through it.
You get a score.
Sing through. Okay, sorry.
You'll have the conductor and the piano accompanist, and you get to just read it down.
Sight read. So when we say read it down, to those of us not as knowledgeable in the music festival, that means it's a sing down. Good old hoedown, sing down.
Exactly.
Here's your score, 1-2, here we go.
And are they sight singing?
For the most part.
Whoa.
It depends. It depends
using
on the work
oral
that they
skills.
Choose. Yeah, it kind of depends because some of them are familiar with the work,
sure.
So they may have sung it before, and so they're like, oh, yeah, I want another opportunity to do that. Some of them, they may be like, this is something I've always wanted to sing. I know I'm very familiar with it by ear, but I've never actually, you know, had a chance to look at the choral part and sing it. Or maybe I've sung soprano and today I feel like singing alto one, you know. So it's, and those are fun events. Of course, I'm a big advocate of sight reading. I love sight reading stuff, but I'm just weird that way. Not
everybody's
into
that. Musicians, but you would, right?
I think what's different at Davidson is at a lot of schools, you don't really participate in departments unless you're a major at big schools.
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, I guess I didn't realize.
We have a student population of about 2,000, and probably 25% of those students come through our department, either in band, choirs, orchestras, classes, ensembles, taking lessons. And we have dozens of what we call adjunct instructors. If a student comes in and wants horn lessons, we go to the Charlotte Symphony principal horn player. Mm-hmm. So they get to study with a very high-level professional person. Our students are very bright, and with that intelligence comes many talents and many facets. And they love the study of music. And we, in our music major, you can study music. You don't have to be the elite performer. You can study music.
But that's what I was going to ask, so excuse my ignorance here. Like, so does Davidson offer a music major?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is it, like, how does that break down? So break that, is it in performance, in
all? Since we offer a Bachelor of Arts degree collectively across the campus, so we have just one music major, but our major is actually really unique amongst the majors at the campus because the majority of the classes required for the major are electives. And so what that does is it gives the students an opportunity to create their own path through the music major. So say they're really interested in composition, they can load up on composition electives. Or if they want to do performance, they can load up their music major by taking voice lessons, participating in ensembles. All of our majors, they do participate in ensembles, but they can choose that. Or if they want to just kind of create a mix, like, hey, I want to take music of Latin America and African American music and composition and sing, that can all count towards the major too. So there's not, we don't have like specific tracks.
Yeah, there's not like this. But that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a very, like,
so you could choose to build your own music major.
Exactly.
In theory.
Yeah.
With your guidance.
With theory.
The guidance of, yes, with theory.
Yeah.
And with the guidance of, I'm sure, your faculty advisor and people like that, they're going to help steer you along the way.
Exactly.
How neat.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I mean, I apologize for my ignorance.
We are, at liberal arts majors, are a little bit different than the performance or education track at other schools.
Yeah. I went to Catawba College. Which is like same size ish as Davidson. And I was a theater major there and we did the BA, but it was more like you said, I think the music department there and the theater department there were like I was a BA, but if you wanted to, you could go a BFA performance track, right? And then you had to take these classes. You had to click this, you know, like our musical theater BFAs, like had to go take classes in the music department.
Right.
In aural skills.
And dance,
and
probably.
Things like that. Oh, of course. Yep. Yeah, things like that. So, but that's so neat that you guys like kind of allow the students, again, and I'm sure with faculty advisement, to really kind of create their own path. That's neat. I love that.
And you know, I've had voice students who could have been at a conservatory.
Sure.
They were good enough, but they weren't quite sure what they wanted to
do. Right, yeah, agree.
So they were able to come to Davidson and pursue their music, but get a really rigorous academic background, and they could still go to medical school or law school if they wanted to.
Right, and still keep that, their passion and their talent, and like not ignore that. Mm-hmm. I love that you bring that up, because I think that that's something that sometimes people can feel like, well, you have to go, you know, I can't do both, right? There's no way I can do both. And it's like, no, like the fact that Davidson allows you to still get that rigorous academic and get wonderful access to your artistic training is fantastic.
I do have voice majors out or music majors who went on to do professional work.
Oh, great.
So some are voice professors, some are pursuing professional careers, but I also had incredible singers that are in medical school. So.
Wow.
Well, and what's nice too about the, you know, our music major is that it's not forcing any student to be like, okay, this is going to be your career in music.
Sure.
And sometimes we encourage that, and sometimes we're just like, hey, find what you want to do.
Exactly.
A lot of our majors, because of that flexibility in our major, they tend to double major. Mm-hmm. And so a good percentage of our music majors are also like an economics major, math major, language major, but that makes our department like really interesting, because all of our students, even within just the majors alone, are also having these other career aspirations and majors in these other areas. And then they'll bring that to the classroom and some really interesting perspectives. Like I've had students who were also majoring like in gender sexuality studies or in that track or that program come and teach me a few things.
Wow.
Or somebody who was an English major as well, coming to me and saying, oh, you know, I've been looking at this poetry by Elizabeth Bishop, and I've realized it aligns with my voice lessons in this way, and I'm finding this really interesting synergy between what I'm learning in this one academic area and in music. And so that's what's exciting for us, is to see these students discovering their academic passions with music, and that also they start to gain this awareness like, oh yeah, their music can be academic, but not in a restrictive way. And I think, you know, coming out of high school, you know, there's a lot of perceptions about, oh no, you're going into music as a career, you're never going to make any money. And the thing is, music, it connects in so many ways. It's so organic to what we do as human beings.
Yeah.
But then it's like, no, you can actually apply these skills, whether they're administrative, related to business, related to management of people, communication skills. I mean, there's so many things, and we hope to nurture that and get these students thinking about those intersectionalities when they're Davidson.
Yeah, I to tie on a little bit to what you're saying about the skills tie on. Right now, especially in the last year or so, right, the Kelseys have become this like big cultural phenomenon, right? Of like the Kelce brothers, the football players, right? And I saw a highlight reel the other day of Jason Kelce. So Jason Kelce with the Philadelphia Eagles just announced his retirement. And, you know, these are football players, right? Football players. And he, in his retirement speech, thanked his band teacher.
Oh, I think I saw
that.
And people were making a big deal about him thanking his band teacher. And he was commenting on this week's podcast, and he was like, look, of course I thank my band teacher. He's like, listen, I have forever been a big advocate of, like, he's like, I played an instrument. He's like, all the way through high school. He was like, I was in a jazz band.
Yeah.
He's like, I played the baritone sax, I think he said he played, right? And he was like, look, he's like, I'm a big proponent of being a musician and learning music. He's like, there is nothing better to teach you the importance of practice, like, than learning an instrument. He said, because you will literally, if you put the time in and if you practice, you will get better.
Right.
He's like, and so learning that as a kid, like that, you know, you've got to practice to get better. You've got to practice to get better. He's like, and then when I got on the football field, I already had this idea of like, I've got to practice to get better. I've got to practice to get better. And so it was really neat to hear, you know, a voice like that who's in that, a completely different, you know, discipline of like the football world and everything, being like, no, look, like the music. And it's always great when you have that come up, you know, because like you said, I think it can help dispel some of those you know, stereotypes and things like that, of that you can do both, right? Well, and you should.
It's the same lessons mm-hmm. that we learn, yeah. whether we learn them through sports or music.
Exactly.
And I think one of the most important things that we can help young people do is find your team, mm-hmm. no matter what that is. For some, they go through theater, yes. music, sports, whatever, and they're just wonderful lessons.
Well, yes.
And even time management skills. So I have one student, she's a senior right now. She's playing principal viola right now. And she is also a swim scholar. And she's a viola scholar, a music scholar. She has two scholarships. I'm not quite sure how she does it. And she's the team captain this year as well. Her peers nominated her to be the swim captain.
Wow.
And she is doing both and is amazing. And has just figured it out, and I can always trust on her and rely on her.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, speaking of time management, we are going to break. Great job, everyone. We'll be back after this break. Know the scene. Come on back. There's no rush for me to step into your shoes. You can't waste your time. Welcome back. Know the scene, everybody. Know the scene. Justin Dion, your host here, joined today by Tara Keith and Jackie Culpepper from Davidson College Music Department. Tara's the chair.
Dun, dun, dun.
She's in charge.
Ish.
She has to be. So we've had a great conversation so far. We were talking about all the stuff, which I really appreciate being educated on it. And folks here today, if they haven't had a chance to really ever dig in, because I think, you know, something that happens in communities, in small communities that have colleges in them, right? Because it's not, so again, I went to Catawba College in Salisbury, not dissimilar. It's a private, you know, mm-hmm. school in a small town.
Yeah.
Davidson, private school, small town. Like, very different, but there are similarities. And what can happen is that colleges can kind of almost become, like, somehow, whether the people mean to or not, like, this bubble
sure.
starts mm-hmm. to happen, yeah. right? In the college versus the people that live in the town around it.
And
it's not the town. Yeah, not the town doesn't like embrace it and stuff, but yeah. at the same time, you know, because it's almost a challenge sometimes too, because there's almost like two different missions in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, the college is there to serve these students and make sure that the students are getting, you know, their education and everything like that. And so it's I appreciate getting to hear all this today too, and hope that people that are listening are getting educated as well on all the great things that are happening in the music department at Davidson College. Now, my next question is, how many of these things are open to the public?
Oh, gosh. Everything.
Exactly. That's what I was
everything.
Thinking. And where is the easiest place for people to make sure they find out about it?
Well, we've got social media sites. You can find the Davidson College Music Department on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Not Twitter, Instagram. See, I don't use social media, so I'm behind the times on that. But and then you can also go to the music department website. And this is where sometimes people get a little hung up. If you go to the Davidson College main landing page, if you go to academics, you'll find music under academics. And
okay.
Or I think there's a link on the main page to events, so you can also look that way if you're trying to get tickets to things.
Okay.
We mm-hmm. would encourage people to go to our website to get tickets. I have identified this year that there's a lot of third-party websites.
Oh, we can
probably dealt with that with
yeah,
the Kane Center.
And
people have been telling me, oh, your ticket prices. And I went, oh, no, we're free or cheap. You know, so many of our events are free. Mm-hmm. And then even our ticketed events are much less than if they mm-hmm. drive somewhere to something else. But if you go to the website, our website, mm-hmm. you can get the tickets there much cheaper.
And that's Davidson. Like, go to Davidson.edu.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tickets.
And then go to academics and go to music.
Yes.
Or is that right?
Yeah.
You can just go to the ticket.
Oh, there's like a ticket link right there or something?
Yeah. I think there's an events button that they can go to. It'll list all events for the college, but you can also isolate it to just music.
Oh, great.
Just theater or whatever. Yeah.
Great. That's
exciting. But we have music, theater, dance. I mean, we just have so many things that people can attend.
Excellent. So that's fantastic. So everyone make sure you go do that and go catch yourself at least one, which we'll talk about the one they need to catch this week. But
that's
the
right.
many different, everything from recitals to mm-hmm. full orchestral performances to the community, I'm going to call it a community chorus,
right.
but it's a mix of a community and student chorus.
And we have a concert series with professionals
yes.
who come in.
I've met the gentleman who runs the bluegrass
John.
Oh, John Singleton?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. He's actually in our pit for this show.
That would make sense. That would make sense. So he started kind of like the bluegrass series.
Traditional music, old time music. Yep.
And he runs the Appalachian Ensemble.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
And it's a mix of students and faculty, and it's just wonderful.
That's so neat.
They just jam and
I love that.
Have a great time.
So I'd love to hear from the two of you who have both been with the college over 20 years. What are some of the things that you've seen? What are some of the changes you've seen, right, in the time you've been there?
Well, one of the big changes is when we first started doing this couple of decades of collaboration, we set out with a model that would, as a joint production between music and theater departments.
Oh.
And so every other year, we decided that we wanted to make sure that an ensemble had the opportunity to play in a pit during their tenure at Davidson. So we said, okay, 1 year we'll use the jazz band, and we only do it every other year. So then 2 years later, we'll use the symphony orchestra. But the change that we've seen in the past decade is that so many pits now are a hybrid. We have a lot of rock shows or pop shows or things that are jukebox musicals and things that are very, very different. So we realized this year that, I think we're going to have to create something that's not our standard jazz band or our symphony orchestra.
And it was limiting our choices because, every other year when we would sit down to try to select the musical with the theater department, and it was getting really restrictive, and we're like, oh, well, this is the orchestra year, so that limits us to this repertoire. This is the jazz year.
So you would pick, you guys would drive the decision on what show you were doing more based off of which music
initially,
was the priority first.
Initially.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was just to make sure that each ensemble
multiple
had
experiences.
Exactly.
Of course.
But we shared a lot of students. Like when I would do the show with the orchestra, I borrowed folks from the jazz ensemble and vice versa.
Because
you kind of have to.
Yeah, to Jackie's point, I mean, musicals nowadays too, right? I mean,
right, music is everything. Yeah. But then there were so many other, especially the really intimate shows that sometimes I think we had ruled out early because we're like, oh, that's just not using as many of our students. And so we decided to kind of throw that formula, the alternating, out the window and say, why don't we just see what musical makes the most sense for the time, for the general student body that we have within the context of perhaps even what's going on campus, what's going on in the period. And so now it opens us up to so many more possibilities.
Yes.
And it's, whether it's regarding the pit or whether it's regarding the casting. So, and this is our first time out of that cycle, that alternating cycle, because the last musical that they did was the jazz ensemble. And so this was our first one. And so, when we were selecting musicals, and one of the things I had in mind, or that we really both had in mind, was like, okay, who do we have? And when Bright Star came up, it's like, well, we've got this really solid Appalachian ensemble. And I knew that at least one of my students was playing in the orchestra and playing in the Appalachian Ensemble, and I was aware of some other really strong students, and we didn't want to rule out the idea of having some of our teachers play. So we actually have three of our teachers are playing in the pit as well. So John Singleton, who teaches fiddle, some banjo as well, and John Hill, who is actually in the library. He works in our archives, but he's an amazing mandolin and guitar player. So he's playing those instruments, and he teaches mandolin. And then Chris Jones is our guitarist, and he teaches guitar for us, teaches jazz guitar. And
Marcus.
And Marcus Pyle, who is
one of our faculty, academic faculty.
Yeah, one of a relatively new colleague of ours. He's been here for 2 years teaching musicology, but he's also a phenomenal professional violist. And so he's playing viola in the pit as well. So
I know a violist.
So our students get to sit side by side, with the faculty in this experience.
That's amazing. So am I hearing right in that the pit, the for lack of a better phrase, for each of these, every time that one of these shows is done, which is every other year, that the pit is comprised of a mixture of faculty and students?
This is the first one
that's hybrid.
Yeah.
Like this.
Oh, so before was it only students?
It was all students.
So you don't ever hire out, you guys don't ever hire out, like if you need a fill.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We needed an accordion player for Fiddler
on the Roof, yeah. So we hired that out. And then another year, I think, that was the only one I can think of that we hired out for. But no, other than that, we had, it would be primarily students. But what's kind of neat about the pit for Bright Star is that we have those faculty, but then we also have six or seven other students, some of whom come from more of a classical background, some who come from jazz background. Uh-huh. And then the concertmaster of the orchestra started really getting into fiddling when he came to Davidson. Uh-huh. He's a third year student now. And just happens this year, he's my concertmaster. And I talked to him. I was like, hey, I've been hearing the work you've been doing with Appalachian Ensemble. Would you want to do both? And he's like, yeah, and he jumped on it. But then we have a student he's playing the principal banjo part next to John Singleton. And so what's just so beautiful and what I've loved so much about this Bright Star pit in particular is that you get to see and witness the master-apprentice relationship firsthand.
That's exactly what I was like going to get to in that is like what I love about what you're kind of saying is that in this new model that you've done, is that you've created an atmosphere for mentorship, mm-hmm. an atmosphere for, learn. I mean, so on this show, I can't tell you how many times we've spoken with like artists who are coming to play the Kane Center, especially in the bluegrass and traditional music scene, who mm-hmm. talk about the importance. So I'm thinking of like Darren Aldridge, when Darren and Brooke Aldridge came, and Darren talked about like, how growing up, like that's how he learned his instrument the most was he just picked up the guitar and he would go and jam. Right. They do the porch sessions, and the Sunday picking sessions and blah, blah, blah. And you just, you're there. And by playing with others and playing with the people that are better than you or whatever, you start to pick up what they're doing and then you pick up what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It really does raise everyone. So that's such a cool experience for your students.
Well, and even my fiddler, he's taken lessons with John Singleton as well. And so when we're rehearsing during all the breaks, they never stop playing. They keep playing.
So they're literally like applying now, what they're doing in lessons to an app. So there's an actual application right there. Like that's so neat.
The other thing I'm really proud of is, a lot of shows that you go to, even in big cities, they're a huge portion recorded. And people are playing with click tracks. They'll hire local musicians to play with recorded tracks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you think you're hearing most of the time is recorded. And a lot of community theater now uses tracks. And this is live.
Interesting. That's great. All right. Well, we're going to keep talking about Bright Star coming up after this next break. Know the scene. Come on back. All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to this week's Know the Scene. Justin Dion, your host here. You're listening to right now a bit of a cut from the musical Bright Star, which is going to be performed this week at Davidson College as a combined production between the music department and theater departments. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you do.
Excellent. It's going to be Wednesday. Opens up on Wednesday. So you guys are in like dress rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, I mean, you're in like final dress. Yeah, you're final dress tonight, right?
Yep.
How's it going?
See these bags under the eyes?
How's it going?
It's going well. Yeah.
Excellent.
We're having fun.
Excellent. So opening night tomorrow night on the 20th. Show the 20th, Thursday on the 21st, Friday on the 22nd. Saturday the 23rd, and a matinee, it looks like, on Sunday. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice little run.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice little run. And everyone, it's going to be at Davidson College in the Duke Family Performance Hall, right? That's a big-size space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like 600 seats.
Mm-hmm. 675.
675, yep, okay, yep. So excellent. And you can get tickets online. I'm going to tell everyone the best way to get there because it's a little tricky. So go to if you'd like to buy tickets online ahead of the show, you can go to davidson.edu/arts. And then once you get to that /arts, you should scroll down to where it says get tickets online. And then when you click get tickets online, it will take you to eTix, which is where you can buy your tickets. And it looks like they're at the most expensive $13.91.
That's a great
Before any potential fees, which are a reality. That's just how it goes. There is a child ticket for $5.56. Is this a child friendly show?
Well, there's no graphic anything.
Sure.
It's
not a child friendly show, but it's not like a young audiences. It's not for young audiences.
It's not a kid show.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Great.
And there's no bad language or.
Yeah.
You know,
Of course not. Steve Martin.
Yeah, that's right. Who is married to a Davidson grad?
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. So is he coming? What?
No.
Because he lives up there. He's up in the mountains, right?
But he sent us a video. He sent the kids a video and said, you know, go Davidson. And so
that
was
cool.
They thought that was really cool.
Because he's up in Brevard, I think, right? Is where I always hear he lives up in Brevard because that's where he met the Steve Canyon Rangers guys.
Steve Canyon Rangers, yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. So everybody, so let's talk Albright Star as we're in this last segment of the show today. All right. So tell me first of all, so other than being motivated by, you know, bluegrass ensemble and stuff like that, why Bright Star?
I personally really wanted this show because it's full of hope, forgiveness, redemption. It's a feel good. And I just thought, we need that right now.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at several other shows, and I was so glad. We have a whole committee that students are involved, and I was so happy that this was their final selection.
Excellent.
And I would agree with that. It's got its moments of darkness, but hope, yeah, is
as does
like
life.
It's that key link throughout the entire show. And what's lovely, too, is even though the show, it bounces back and forth between 1920s, 1940s, and while we're doing it in those time periods, you can apply so many of the family relationships, interpersonal relationships, generational conflicts. What do you keep as tradition? How do you break out of tradition? All of those themes you can still apply to, 21st century experiences.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really touching things about this particular show, especially as you see the development of certain relationships, particularly between generations, older generations, younger generations. How do they approach really conflicting, difficult moments and choices? And then how do they feel about that later? And are they able to resolve that? Or is it something that needs to just find another path in order to exist in some other realm? It's a lovely show in that way, in that you can, I think anybody could find some kind of connection to each of these characters in that way.
Love that.
I've seen it many times, and every time I see it, I get a little teary.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's based on a true event.
Yeah, so tell us. So now tell us what the story's about.
So shall we tell the whole story, or shall we?
Well, you know, I mean,
set
up the premise. Set up the premise.
There was a real event called the Iron Mountain Baby that it was actually happened in Missouri, but it became this big folk legend. And there was an actual event where a baby was thrown from a train. It was in a suitcase and it landed in the river. And a farmer found it, nursed it back to health. It was a little bruised and raised it is their child, adopted the child. And it was funny, the real story, the baby had three names, and one of them was Moses. It's because they found it
in
the river.
Sure.
And so Steve Martin and Edie Burkell took that, and they actually wrote a song. There was a big famous folk song written about, it was a big cultural phenomenon. Steve and Edie had a song on their 2013 Grammy album that referenced the Iron Mountain Baby. So from that, they created the musical and created the story around the baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what you see in the musical.
So they took that and then took it to the next step.
Exactly. It morphed and they created their own story. There's two time periods. One is in the 1920s where Alice Murphy and a young man named Jibby Ray have a baby. But during this period of time, that was not something that was a shame subject.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Ray's father takes the baby and tells them he's going to have it adopted, but he throws it in the river.
Oh.
So baby is found. So how much do we divulge,
I was about to
Tara?
Say, that's a good place to stop.
Okay. Then there's another period of time, 23 years later, that occurs. And the musical does go back and forth between these two time periods.
Oh, neat.
And they all come together and everyone's lives are changed.
And so we're full production, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lights, everything.
Everything.
Who built your sets?
Oh, Anita Tripathi in the theater department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a really fantastic set. It's it was, you know, we were in some of the early production meetings, you know, trying to think of, you know, what evokes the feeling of Asheville. And then there's another location, Zebulon, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, how do we reflect that sort of Western North Carolina, Eastern North Carolina? And she just did a wonderful job bringing earth tones, wood. And, you know, you think, have a baby being thrown off a train, okay? What are you thinking with trains, tracks, trellises? And somehow she just brilliantly combined all of those together in the set, which is also very... It's a complex set. There's a lot of moving pieces on it. And if you're thinking, oh, okay, you have to jump back between two different towns and two different time periods. And then the lighting design along with that is also, paired with that has been really, really impressive. As we've been in production, we can see it all coming together.
But that's also part of the educational process.
Right.
Because Anita teaches set design classes. Mm-hmm. And so all of this is created and built just for this show. And the students are part of that whole process. This is not like you rent some set and you rent a track and all that. This is...
When do you start work on a show like this?
Well, we met last year to talk about selecting the show.
Okay.
We had auditions in the late fall, but we didn't start any rehearsals until the very end of January.
Okay, yeah.
We had it cast before they went
6 weeks.
Home for break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we started around the last week of January.
Right. And so do you start, but you only do a show like this once every 2 years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is created from scratch.
So. Yes, of course. Of course. Absolutely. So the theater department as well. So Tara, you're directing this show too, or you're directing the orchestra?
Yeah, I'm conducting the pit.
Okay, you're conducting the pit.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the creative team is who's directing the show?
Tara and I are the creative team from the music department.
Got it.
And then the theater department really is over the production.
Oh, I see. Okay, so this is the team.
It's
I love
joint.
It. Okay, great.
So,
yes.
Mark Sudge, who's the chair of theater, is the stage director, and he's the overall director.
Okay.
And Carly Henderson, who is the production head of production in the theater, is the producer. Anita did the set. Chip Davis is the technical director. We have students. We have a stage manager and two assistant stage managers, and that's part of their theater degree. Mm-hmm, that's a requirement that they have to do. We do have a Beth Killian, who's a costumer, but she is hired. She is comes in. Who am I leaving out?
Lighting designer, Anna.
Anna. Mm-hmm. Krueger-Dole.
Yes.
Yes. And she's on the staff at the Duke.
I love it. So wonderful.
It's a family thing.
Of course.
It's kind of a family thing.
It takes it, you know, again, my experience being an undergraduate, you know, theater major, right? Learning how to work with a large team, right, of many different kinds of people that have different disciplines, right? Because like you said, you've got the stage director, you two here are leading the music side of things, you know, and you've got, but all these things are important, right? You've got your lighting person, your costume person, everything else, and they have their own teams. Right. That are like building this and building that while they all come together, right? It's a lesson, I think, in project management and teamwork and all these things. It's so great to see these things
and that
always
your
come
area
together.
Might not be the most important.
That's right. That's right. It can all depend kind of on the day, right? And also one of the things I always think that that shows like this for me, like helped me come to the realization of is like the whole show must go on thing is the truth. Because at the end of the day, the thing opens tomorrow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So like, whoever ain't got their work done, you don't got much more time because
it's
guess what?
Happening.
That curtain's going up tomorrow, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, get yourself tickets now. Go, or can they buy them at the door if they want?
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Can buy them at the door. Go to that beautiful Duke Family Performance Hall. Tara Keith, Jackie Culpepper, thank you so much for joining us today. Y'all make sure to go see Bright Star at Davidson College. And after you've seen Bright Star, go and get involved and go to one of these wonderful performances that are happening from the music department all over. Check them out online at davidson.edu. Everyone, have a great day. Thanks for listening to Know the Scene.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville. W290DK, Mooresville. W264CU, Statesville.